Hi everybody, the Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. So I want to talk about dissociation, and I feel like this particular episode is going to be very, very important and very, very big. Out of all the episodes I ever do on this podcast, I feel like this one is one of the biggest because I think it's one of the most relatable. And what I mean by that is with dissociation, which can also be known as depersonalization, so feeling detached from yourself or observing yourself from an external perspective. So if you feel a disconnection and lack of continuity between thoughts, memories, surroundings, actions, and identity. So again, a disconnection and lack of continuity between your thoughts, your memories, your surroundings, your actions, and your own identity. So that's a really big deal, right? This is something that I had struggled with. And I would say, again, I'm going to provide a solution for this, which is the building of your confidence through engaging through hobbies that make you happy, that bring you happiness. Not hobbies for an image, not hobbies because you're jaded and you want to engage in something because it's like a rage thing. Hobbies that bring you happiness. Hobbies that are truly fulfilling. That's the solution. That's what I'm saying. Again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychiatrist or anything. I'm giving you my example of living with complex PTSD. I struggled with this dissociation thing for, I would say, 20 years. That's a really long time, probably 20 plus years, because it was going on in my teenage years too. But this dissociation thing is enormous. And if you don't know where it's coming from, it can drive you mad, absolutely mad. And it did drive me mad. Because it's always like a guessing game of why can't I figure it out? Why can't I find a solution for this? Where's the answer? How come this keeps happening? The solution, in my opinion, is to build your confidence, because the problem is it's stemming from low self-esteem and nobody's going to tell you that. So I'm telling you that right now. My personal opinion, that's where it's coming from. No therapist is going to sit there with you in a therapy appointment and say, you know what, Sandra, you struggle with low self-esteem. They're not going to say that to you. But that's what I think this is. So if you're struggling with dissociation as one of the symptoms of complex PTSD, I really think a lot of the symptoms as a whole are actually rooted in low self-esteem. And what they'll usually recommend when you're in a therapy appointment, they'll give you like a little, I don't want to call it a chart, but it's almost like a little fill in the blank type thing about what things make you happy, what things bring you joy, blah, 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 blah. And that's great, but they need to let you know that, you know, that's not just reminding you of your identity whenever you fill that out. They need to lay it out for you and say, you're struggling with low self-esteem and these are confidence builders. These are going to help you build your confidence to solve the problem of low self-esteem. I wish that they would just say that, but they won't do that. They won't say that to you. So I'm saying it because I've dealt with it and I've lived with it, and it's something that is working. So I wouldn't be recommending it if it wasn't working. But again, one of the, I want to give just kind of a very generic example here. So I talked about this, you know, a certain person who is very insecure and comes across very rude, right? I've talked about that recently. So I'm going to compare myself to this person in the sense that we both, if I'm coming from a place of low self-esteem of 20 years of dealing with dissociation, you know, and mine is coming from low self-esteem and I just don't know it, because nobody's saying it to me. you know, if I'm coming from a place of low self-esteem and they're coming from a place where they're insecure, you know, that's pretty similar to low self-esteem, being insecure. So their way of going about life, this insecure person, is to do everything for an image. So rather than engage with a hobby that brings them happiness, they engage with hobbies that make them look a certain way, right? I talked about this, which can also make them a control freak. Because they're so insecure, they're a control freak to hold that image, right? And this can go from everything to their house, to the person they marry, to the groups that they involve themselves with. And what is the one thing those three things all have in common? Having, you know, whatever house you have, wherever it is, it could be any neighborhood. You could live out in the country, you could live in the city, you could live in a suburb. But if you're insecure and you want to portray a certain image, you're going to have a certain kind of house for whatever image you're trying to portray. And you're going to marry a certain kind of person. Sadly for that person, you're marrying them because of an image. You're also engaging with certain groups, not because you actually give a crap about those people, but because you're trying to portray an image. The one thing those three things all have in common is activities. They all have activities in common. So when you live in a certain neighborhood in a house, you're going to have certain neighbors and you're going to maybe, you know, do certain things in a certain neighborhood. And you're going to have certain activities that you're going to do. When you marry a certain person, they have certain interests of their own. They're going to have certain activities that they're involved with. And when you start aligning yourself with certain groups, those groups do activities, or there's certain activities that they're associated with. So it's all activities. So the activities that you engage with, this is where you can start to find association. So if you are an insecure person portraying things for a certain image, once you're in those activities and you start to feel all these little weird feelings like this isn't who I really am, or I feel awkward, I don't want to share this aspect with myself because you're being disingenuous because you're coming from a place of insecurity and you're portraying an image. So you're feeling disingenuous. And it might make you uncomfortable to the point where you're just never genuine with people. And eventually that will begin to show in some way or the other, the lack of being genuine. That's a big thing in all of this. So now let's say I'm coming from a place of low self-esteem. I'm going to compare myself to this insecure person. So since I'm coming from a place of low self-esteem, what somebody that has low self-esteem might do? You might align yourself with somebody who love bombs you. You might associate yourself with somebody who seems to have it all together, or maybe they don't. You might associate yourself with impulsive people because maybe you're impulsive too, because having complex PTSD, that's kind of part of the theme of our nature. I shouldn't even say nature. It's one of our symptoms that can be rationaled, or what's the word? You can find build resilience to that, I should say. You might associate yourself with people who are degrading because maybe you're self-deprecating because you have low self-esteem. You might find yourself surrounding yourself with people who abuse substances. And I'm not talking about people who just happen to drink occasionally. I mean people who abuse substances, and it looks like tons of fun because at the time, it's like a koala bear high on berries or something. By the way, koala bears do that. They eat things and then they get like drunk off of them, like these little berries. So I always think of that because koala bears fall out of the trees and they hit the ground and it probably hurts a lot. And koala bears, you know, just do things like that. So I always think, whenever I think of people abusing substances, for some reason, that's always the image in my head, is koala bears falling out of trees because they're drunk. But you don't want to do that. You don't want to fall out of a tree like a koala bear. But the thing that this can all lead to, and by the way, it can also lead to you maybe getting into a cult. So if you have low self-esteem and you're trying to engage with people, and you're just trying to have something, like something to latch on to, because maybe most of the time people don't want to be around you because your low self-esteem is just exuding and they don't like that. But people in a cult sometimes operate differently, where maybe they like you because you're so vulnerable. And they were probably like that at one time too, and they think the cult saved them. So they drag you in, and it feels like it all makes sense now. But remember what happened to the insecure person who's trying to portray an image, and they got the house, the person, the groups, they engaged with activities, and they started to feel disingenuous. So if you're in this cult and then you start thinking back, oh man, I used to love this music group and I used to love this TV show, but it's a little bit too X-rated and my new cult friends won't like that. But now I feel weird and I feel like I've lost my identity. That's what I'm talking about. That's dissociation type thing. Or, you know, you still want to hang out with friends who are abusing substances, or you remember the days when, you know, you didn't used to be that way and you realize maybe you're just fitting in with them for this, that, and the other. It's not really you, disingenuous, right? It's not really who we are. And why is that? Because it's rooted in low self-esteem. Now, if you have a hobby that brings you happiness, what is that going to do? A hobby that brings you happiness. One, it's going to make you happy. Two, you're probably going to start hanging out with people who actually like your hobby. And because you have a genuine interest in that hobby and it brings you happiness, guess what? You're going to have genuine connections with other people. And that's the solution. That's it. That is the answer to this problem, in my personal opinion. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm someone who has experienced this stuff. That genuine interest is crucial. So like I said, with this insecure person who's all about image and all that stuff, if they're hanging out with a certain group of people and they don't have a genuine interest in the activities that they're engaging with those people, remember, it's all about the activities. If they don't have that genuine interest and it's for image, it's going to show. So remember, I said that there's this woman, I'm not going to name who it is. It's a big celebrity. A lot of people know who she is. I'm not going to name who she is. She came out with a cooking line and she's all like, oh yes, I'm a cook all of a sudden, right? It's just something that just kind of fell out of the air because it looks, I don't know, I guess it could be, it's what maybe influencers do. I don't know what it is, but she's doing all this cooking and getting all messy and she's not wearing an apron. You don't have an apron? You know, it's almost like if I were to suddenly say, I'm the next Bob Vila, you know, I'm going to go build a house. But I don't know the difference between this wrench and that wrench. Someone's probably going to notice that and say, you don't know the difference between, you know, this wrench and a plumber's wrench, or this wrench and that wrench, or a circular saw and this other kind of saw, or, you know, you don't know the difference between this type of screw and that kind of screw and what kind of exact, you know, tool you're going to need. You know, it's going to stand out. It's going to notice. And that's where, if you're coming from a place of insecurity and doing things for image, people are going to notice it. Let's just say that. And if you're doing things from low self-esteem and you're just trying to connect out of a place that is so sad, because that's what it is. When I was doing it for over 20 years, and again, I didn't know it because nobody was telling me, because therapists probably aren't supposed to do that. It's pretty taboo to tell someone you have low self-esteem. I never knew that that's where it was coming from, or what things, a lot of things were rooted in. So there would always be this eventual feeling of disingenuousness and feeling like these people don't really know who I am. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to get away from these people. I want to go home and isolate. I don't feel comfortable and I don't want to do these things. So then your spouse might say, well, why'd you sign up for this group if you don't want to do these things? And then you don't have a clear answer, or you lie. So if it's an insecure person and they're trying to portray an image, they're going to lie. And, you know, it's like everything was for like an image, right? And they might get sick of it, or they might try to be a control freak, which is what an insecure person doing this image thing would do. They'd be a control freak about it. They'd be like, oh, I want to go do this, but I don't want to do that, that, and that. Okay, let's all take a picture, and now let's put it on my social media so everybody can see I'm in a group, right? But you don't want to actually do anything with the group. So it's like a disingenuous thing. And in both cases, I want to say we got to give ourselves a little bit of forgiveness, because if someone's insecure, they might not know it. They might not know that, you know, that's the problem. They might not know. And so them doing everything for an image might be the only way they know how to go about life. And if someone's coming from a place of low self-esteem, they might not know it. They might not know that they're doing all these things and it's ending up in this way. And they just don't know. Like, nobody's pointing it out to them. Or maybe everyone's afraid to point it out, or other people don't have time to look into them. But I want to say, so again, this is from my own experience. A lot of these feelings, when you're feeling like you're not connecting, and you're feeling like you reach a certain point, and then boom, where I say da-da-da-da, it's the disingenuousness. When you're not able to make those genuine connections, and you're not knowing where it's coming from, like I said, it can make you feel absolutely nuts and crazy. And it can also make the world seem very surreal. So surrealism, I don't know if I mentioned that at the beginning, but that word surreal is very important in all this. So surrealist movies, like I mentioned, or maybe I forgot to mention, like David Lynch movies. I don't know if you've ever seen David Lynch movies. I used to talk about them a lot. So I used to talk about Twin Peaks a couple years ago. I used to talk about that show a lot. But it's a very surrealist show. It's almost like you're looking at the world in a dream-like state. So that's why I like this for this topic. Dissociation is very much like a dream-like state. It's very depersonalized. It's detached from yourself. It's observing yourself from an external perspective, which, by the way, and this happens to just be a coincidence, I rented the DVD. So when my TV was out and everything that I told you about, I was watching DVDs more. I rented the sixth season of The Sopranos, which is the final season, because I'd never seen the sixth season, and I have to return it tomorrow, so I have to watch like a whole bunch of it. Still have to watch a whole bunch more episodes tonight, but I'm going to fast forward through some of it. But the second and third episode in the sixth season are about Tony in a dream. And I was like, well, this relates perfectly. You know, it's the whole two episodes, because his uncle shoots him on the show, and he almost dies. So he's in like a death dreamlike place. And it's really well done. It's very surreal, because Tony Soprano, he's like, where am I? And it's, you know, all of a sudden he sees these Buddhist monks, and he's like, you know, just chit-chatting with them. And then all of a sudden he's over here. And then there's a helicopter flying over him with a light shining on him. And it's very much the way a dream is. And then this guy tries to get his suitcase. And Tony's like, no, I don't want to give you my suitcase. And he keeps hearing his daughter talking in the woods. Because in real life, the daughter's saying, don't die, Dad, don't die. And he's like holding on to the suitcase, because if he lets go of the suitcase, he goes to heaven, I guess, or somewhere. But it's very surreal. It's all very surreal. And it relates very well to all of this, because whenever I was having all these feelings, and I think this is very much a part of the right-brained emotional individual, which a lot of us can be with complex PTSD. A lot of this feeling dissociated, or this depersonalized feeling, it can very much make you relate to surreal things. So like surreal movies, So, like, again, this director, David Lynch, who did Twin Peaks, he did Eraserhead and the movie Mulholland Drive. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Mulholland Drive, but it's extremely surreal, where it's like constant dreamlike state. And almost all of his movies are like this. They're surreal movies. Pablo Picasso was a surrealist, if I'm not mistaken. And I think Salvador Dali was really big into that, some artist. But they're, you know, Pablo Picasso with the distorted faces and all that, whenever he would paint, that's a surrealist kind of thing. It's this dreamlike, you know, kind of, I think they refer to it as avant-garde. But that's very much like this. It can, you know, there's things out there to relate to. The point is to overcome it. And the way to overcome it, in my opinion, and the book that helps so much, I guess I should go grab it. I have it in the other room. I forgot to have it next to me as I was speaking so I could read the author's names, because I don't want to not give them credit because they help so much with all of this. But the book that led me to realizing that low self-esteem was actually one of my big problems. It was a book called The Novel Cure, From Abandonment to Zestlessness, 751 Books to Cure What Ails You, by Ella Bertoud. Her last name is Bertoud. And Susan Elderkin. Her last name is Elderkin. And the book is a bluish color with little blue medicine vials on it. And the vials say authors' names like Harper Lee, William Faulkner, Ernest Hemingway. And the way they organize it is there's an ailment. So being a bully is one of the ailments. Another one, being broke, financially broke. So these are some of the ailments. Dissatisfaction, dishonesty, disenchantment. These are all ailments in here. Loss of innocence, infatuation, procrastination. And that's a big one, by the way, procrastination. These are all ailments in here. And the way they do it is they'll describe what being a bully is. And then they'll list a novel and say, read this novel to relate to if you think you're being a bully or you are being a bully, so you won't want to be a bully. And then they also go down to what eventually sort of happens when you are being a bully. So it's telling you kind of like your future almost. But then it says, see also. So it recommends other things. So being a bully might not actually be your problem. But then it'll say, see also being a dictator. So there's a difference in their perspective between a bully and a dictator. And then, for example, for feeling like a failure, which is one of the ones I went to, because I told you one of my triggers is feelings of incompetence. And so feeling like a failure is pretty common, right? But the things that they recommended were tendency to give up halfway through, where it said, see also, tendency to give up halfway through. And then it said, see also low self-esteem. And I was like, low self-esteem? So because I feel like a failure, they're recommending low self-esteem. And they were absolutely right. 100%. Procrastination was another one of my big ones. So again, it has a book like it recommends to read related to that. But then it says, see also indecision, failure to seize the day, and fear of starting. But procrastination was actually my problem. So I didn't need to see the other ones. So again, it's got a lot of these in here. Curiousness, which is griping. That's another big one for me. Related to dissatisfaction and irritability. But it was actually curiousness. And I told you guys another one of mine was desire to jump ship. So when you're so frustrated, you just want to jump ship. It pointed out, if you literally jump a ship into the water because you think the ship is sinking, so if your life is such a big failure that you're thinking of jumping ship, it says don't do that, because when you jump the ship, you end up in the water And then you don't have anything to even try to steer in a different direction or save from sinking. So your problem just gets worse. So like if you're just, you're so fed up that you're just going to get so bombed out drunk, don't do it, because it's like jumping off of a boat rather than plugging the holes of the boat to stop sinking and trying to re-steer the ship in a new direction. Think more rationally. Like if I were to get so upset that my TV wasn't working for 4 or 5 days that I just get so fed up, I smash it with a baseball bat. That probably isn't going to help anything, right? Or, you know, it's not going to do anything. And then I'm going to have a glass to clean up, and then I might cut myself on the glass. Like it's, that wouldn't solve anything. It wouldn't allow me to think about a solution to my problem. It would just leave me with a mess to clean up, right? And then I guess I could read to you guys really quick what they had here for low self-esteem. And I know that this is something I've talked about before, but it's absolutely worth repeating. So the things that they had in relation to low self-esteem, it said, see also feeling like a failure, which is where this came from, low self-esteem. And then it said to see shyness and also see neediness. And I told you guys recently, one of the things for neediness was they recommended a book called, or the movie True Grit. And I just watched True Grit. And that's a lot about somebody who's just very determined. And even though she relies on U.S. Marshal, I already forgot his name, Rooster Kagan. It's John Wayne's character in it. But she relies on him to help her. But she's very determined. She's almost bratty in it. She's just very stomping her foot because she's going to get it done. She's gritty. It's a 16-year-old girl, I think. But she's trying to avenge her father's murder in it. And she's going to get the guy no matter what that did it. So she's gritty. She's not going to take no for an answer. But for low self-esteem, whenever I was reading through it, one thing in particular, well, two. The two things that it said to relate to, because remember, I didn't know I was struggling with low self-esteem, so it's very important to have something to relate to, so you can kind of move forward. Very important. So one of them was a novel called Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. I think it was written in the 30s, and it was a really big book back in the day. And they made it into a movie that was directed by Alfred Hitchcock. And I watched it, and I got the gist of all of this from this book, the novel Cure book, by Ella and Susan. And in the gist of it, and that for every ailment they have in here, it's like one page of information, one or two. And so it's not like you have to read the whole freaking book. Like literally you look up your ailments and then you see what they might be connected to. And it literally just solved my issue. It was phenomenal in just a couple pages. And in Rebecca, she's comparing herself to her new husband's first wife who passed away, because everybody loved her first wife. So this new wife is comparing herself to Rebecca, who died. The first wife died. Her name was Rebecca. And so she's comparing herself, which is a sign of low self-esteem. And she's doing everything to try to be like Rebecca, which is low self-esteem. And then eventually she finds out Rebecca's not quite who everybody thought she was. And it's basically kind of like, from what I understand, it was, why did she even compare herself to her to begin with? I mean, she's not even as cracked up wonderful as everybody thought she was, because she was lying about things. And so, you know, it shows you how silly it is to compare yourself and just be who you are. And then another novel they recommended, which I watched the movie version, A Kestrel for Knave. A kestrel is a type of bird, and a knave is sort of like a common man, if I'm not mistaken. And it's about a common sort of kid, sort of in a poor, rundown area, and his whole life just sucks. Like, his brother's mean to him. His mom's screaming all the time. His teachers are mean. Everything sucks. And it really does suck for him. But he has a bird that's almost like a hawk or a falcon, and he teaches it to fly and come back to him. So he has this one thing to look up to, this one thing of hope, and it boosts his self-esteem, because what is it? It's a genuine hobby that brings him happiness. Ding, 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 right? Da, 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 da. It's a genuine hobby. So that's the key thing here. Boost your confidence with a genuine hobby. So important. And it really is the answer. Like, it really is. And nobody is going to tell you that. Like, nobody is going to say you're struggling with low self-esteem. And again, these two women that wrote this book, they do bibliotherapy, I think in London, or a school in London. But again, that book is The Novel Cure by Ella Bertoud and Susan Elderkin. And like I said, the one I checked out has a bluish color with blue medicine vials, because I think there's a red one. So I don't know if they're slightly different. So I wouldn't want to gear you towards the one that might be different from the one I read. The blue one is the one I read. But again, with all of this, I think the solution is find a hobby that brings you happiness and engage with it. And it can also be a sport. So for me, collecting coins is something I'm going to start doing again. And just reading about the history of coins, and maybe I used to do it when I was a kid and I just lost interest. But, and I think a lot of it was just because I was looking at it the wrong way. I was looking at it as a money thing rather than a history thing. Because I can learn about the history of coins, and you can study coins forever. And then the other thing is a sport. Sports are a great thing. If there's a sport that makes you happy, that's absolutely a hobby. You know, and that's, so I asked a friend if he wanted to go and hit golf balls on a golf range and just practice hitting golf balls, and we're going to play mini golf. You know, just something fun to do. And it's fun because it's something I genuinely will like to do, right? Like, it's not something I'm doing for an image, and it's not something I'm doing rooted in low self-esteem to try to like get something out of somebody, or, you know, it's not something I'm doing that I don't even want to do. Like, I think if I was doing something out of low self-esteem, we might even do things we don't even want to do just to do something. And yeah, I don't think that would help much. You know, unless you're needing to exercise. A lot of people don't want to exercise. Exercise is good for you. That's different. I'm talking about hobbies that are supposed to be things for you to engage with. I'm not talking about, you know, getting out of bed, exercising, and walking, you know, because that's just good for you. But if you're engaging in some activity, you know, that doesn't actually bring you happiness, and it's supposed to be a hobby for you, don't do it, because you're just going to get grouchy. Like, it's, you know, it's not gonna help you. And that might be a sign that you got into it rooted in low self-esteem, or maybe even for an image, you know. I think this is why a lot of times people, I think this can be a big part of divorce, because if somebody marries somebody for an image, and they're not really admitting that, but maybe they're, you know, just going through the motions with them, it's once you start hitting those disingenuous moments where it's like, da, 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 you know, it's just, that's the moment. It's the activities, right? That's when you start seeing it, where someone's true colors start kind of sort of coming out. And yeah, I just can't stress it enough. And again, people who are like this, who are insecure or coming from places of low self-esteem, I would say cut them a little slack, because they probably don't know that that's where it's coming from. Or especially in the case of low self-esteem. But if it's an insecure person, they're not going to want to address that if it's an insecure person. Insecure person is not going to want to address their insecurity at all. And that can be much harder, I think, than someone who's really struggling with dissociation and coming from low self-esteem. I think that person would be much more likely to address it, because they want an answer. They want to know what the hell's going on here, because it will really drive you mad. if you don't know where it's coming from. So it's a huge thing. So again, dissociation can be like a disconnection and lack of continuity between thoughts, memories, surroundings, actions, and identity. So we don't want that, right? But if you engage with a hobby that makes you happy, you can always have it. So it's going to be continuous, right? You're not going to lack continuity. It's going to be continuous. And it's going to help you stick to, you know, your memories, your surroundings, your identity. It's all going to be part of what makes you happy. And I don't think that you would feel detached from yourself or observing yourself from an outside perspective. If you're happy and you're enjoying what you're doing, you're not going to feel like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? Who am I? You're going to know exactly who you are. You're going to be like, well, this is my hobby and I love it. You know, you're going to know exactly like why you're doing it. So I just wanted to share that. This is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.